I think that the Lord is really speaking to us today about soul searching, being sensitive to the moving of His Spirit in our lives. But, you know, I've said this many times that there is the Logos, which is the Word of God, which we have in the Bible. And out of that Logos, we have what's known as Rhema. It's the message, the Word that God wants to speak to you right now. And when we come together, there usually is a message that, as presented, is going to meet everybody in some way or another. If there's a sensitivity and a reaching out, you know, you have to reach out and take what the Word of God is for right now. So I'd like some people to read these first four scriptures. So anybody want to read Genesis 2:7? Anybody want to do that? Genesis 2:7. All right, Sylvia. Job 32:8. Kathy. Proverbs 20:27. And Hebrews 4:12. All right. So let's, as soon as you're ready, Sylvia, read that.
Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being.
Okay. My translation says living soul. Okay. All right. Kathy?
Job 32:8. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding.
There is a spirit in man, and it's the breath of the Almighty that gives us understanding. Okay, Jen?
Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts.
All right. And then Elaine, Hebrews 4:12.
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Okay, now all of these scriptures have something to do with the soul and spirit of a person. We emphasize the Holy Spirit because that's who we want to get in contact with. But there is a part of us that has this breath of life that can open up to the Spirit of God, and it is our own spirit. We have a spirit. Does everybody know that? Right? Plenty of scriptures that talk about soul and spirit. The last one there in Hebrews 4:12 talks about how the Word of God can get right in there and separate soul and spirit. There's a connection with our soul and our spirit. And I want to explain that a little bit further because that's going to help us as we go into what I want to talk about today. And then bones and marrow, which is our physical being, right? There's a spiritual side to us, and there's a physical side to us. And the Word of God can get right in there and work in our bodies. Yeah?
Yes.
And He can work within our mind, our will, our emotions, and change us. And that was the other aspect of what I felt the Lord was saying to us is that, you know, it's this thing about change. We hear a lot about that in this place, don't we? And I think the Lord is just really pushing this. People, all of us, there's need for some still greater change in our life. I think we're willing. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Isn't that right? And it's the Word of God that can break through that and separate that out and get us to live a more spiritual kind of life. We need to live a more spirit-led life. God has breathed into us the spirit of life. And it's that spirit, it's that conscious, we have a conscience. It's that part of us that has a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Right? Now, the Word... I want to talk about Proverbs 20:27 for a minute. Our spirit is the candle of the Lord, it says, where He can look right into the very heart of us. And God looks at our spirit. And I'm going to explain this a little deeper. But I want you to know, He looks at your spirit. He knows every little decision and action and reaction and all the good decisions and all the bad decisions. And God isn't this good? God doesn't deal with us. He doesn't look at us and look at one little thing that we do in our life. He looks at our character. He looks at our spirit. As we're going to see here, the spirit of a person is connected with the decisions that they make. And those decisions, that rational soul that we have that distinguish us from the rest of the animals. We have a higher level soul than our pets. Can you agree with that?
Yes.
There's something different about man. Man was made in the image of God. And we have this ability to change from the inside out. And it comes because of the decisions that we make that produce attitudes in us, and we call that character. We call it conduct. And this is what a person's spirit is. I'm going to get into this in a minute. This is what our spirit is all about. It's the summation. It's the overall emanation and essence of who we are is our spirit. And our spirit has effects on other people. Yeah? Now, individual actions certainly have effects on people, but when God is looking at us, He doesn't sit there and I am so glad He doesn't judge me on every little thing that I where I'm off the mark. Why doesn't God judge me on every little thing that I do? Because He's looking at my character. If there are things in my life that are starting to change my character, that are starting to affect the way my attitude toward Him, toward my brothers and sisters, toward how I approach a job, whatever I'm doing in life, He is going to get His finger on me. He gives me some room in all the little individual things for me to go, oh man, how many times has something happened to you and you go, oh man, oh wow, I really messed up there. And you come around. God doesn't have to deal with us because we have a spirit that's sensitive to His. Thank God. You know, that right after we do something wrong, He's not right there smacking us on the behind. He gives room to speak to us. He gives room for us to actually think about what we just did or said or whatever. Isn't that right? He's gracious.
Yes, he is.
He's wonderful.
Yes.
Now, the actual word for spirit is pneuma. The Greek word is pneuma. And it's the word for spirit, and it actually means the rational soul, if you look it up in the concordance. And so this is the seat of our will, our intellect, our emotions. And our will and our intellect and our emotions are what influences how we act and how we react, how we make choices, right? We choose. And that creates the kind of spirit we possess. The overall character of who we are is our spirit. Our spirit and our soul are interlinked. You can't get, it says that God breathed into man the breath of life, the spirit of life. He breathed into us and created a living soul. Our spirit and our soul are connected together. You can't separate them out. They're connected. The seat of our emotions, that's our soul. Our seat of our intellect, the seat of our will, that's our soul. And out of that is the decisions that we make and the reactions that we do. That's the kind of character we are. And some of us are really, what a character. Right? Don't all turn back and look at Joe. Some people are characters, all right. But it's our character and our conduct that God, this is what God is looking at. The attitudes that we formed. Yeah? Our attitudes and our habit patterns that have come about through many different kinds of things that happen in our life. There's good things and there's bad things. Isn't there? And that affects the way we think about situations, people. You know, you can, can I use you for an example, Laura? Laura?
Take it so.
You know, she, way back, when I said the word dance one day in front of her, her hands got all sweaty. I said, and she looked a little frazzled, and I said, what's wrong? This is before I knew, you know? And so she says, anytime I hear that word, my hands get all sweaty and I get all nervous. What?
They're sweaty.
They're sweaty right now. Yeah. Now these actions, reactions, there's causes. There's a cause for that. She might be in touch with it, maybe she's not. But there's things in our life that hurts. Bad things that have happened, good things that have happened, frame the way that we think about people and different events. Mm-hmm. You know, even to the degree for that you can just hear a word and it does something. I can hear words that have food connections and my mouth waters. Right?
Yes.
You can have your mouth watering and somebody just says a particular dish that you like. And the other day we were out at a restaurant down in Peabody, Mass, and the steak was just out of this world, wonderful, tender, you know, just kind of fell apart and tasted really good. If I think of that, my mouth waters. I'm ready for more of that, you know. So there are things that happen in our lives, and they frame the way that we think about things and react, and it's those decisions and those actions and reactions that form our character. That's what forms our character. Isn't that right? And we're all so very different because we all live such varied lives. And when I do something, I like the fact of having people give me some room, I'll get through this. I'll give me some room here. You know, I'm trying to understand. You know, and you want people to understand you. You need to understand other people. Isn't that right? All right, so this is all part of this whole thing of what the pneuma is. So the other word that we use there for a person's character, the overall impression of who they are and what they think and all of that, is the word heart, right? To know a person's heart. Now, we sang a song, "Here's My Heart, Lord." Right? "Here's My Heart, Lord." Here's the essence of who I am, Lord. Huh? And we sang that song. And I hope that when we sing these songs, that we really are thinking about the words. "Here's my heart, Lord." It's our heart that keeps us alive. It's what is ticking, right? It's what makes us tick. What is it that makes you tick? Makes me tick? It's the heart of who we are as people is the spirit, the spirit of that person. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. How many of you believe that your spirit can be changed? That it can be transferred? When I was a young Christian, I used to think that the spirit part of me was the pure part of me that couldn't be touched, that belonged to God and Him alone. And it was that special little place, and that it was sacrosanct. And then I had my soul, and then of course my body, but I always thought that the spirit was separate from any kind of defilement or anything along those lines. I want us to read here in 2 Corinthians, because when I read this years and years ago, it shocked me. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says this: "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves," cleanse ourselves, "from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Our spirit, that spirit part of us, can get defiled, can get dirtied. Isn't that something? When I was young, as a young Christian, I didn't think my spirit could ever get dirty. That part is always clean. No, we can have a dirtied up spirit, as well as dirtied up flesh ways of thinking. We can have a dirtied up spirit. How can that be? Oh, I'm going to give you some examples here, okay? In the Bible, it describes that. I'm going to give you some comparisons here. You can have a joyful spirit. You can have a joyful spirit, can't you? But you can also have a bitter spirit. Yes. Oh, I thought spirit meant everything that was good. No. No, our spirits can get defiled. Things can happen to us in life that if we look at it a certain way, we take a particular attitude toward a situation a certain way, we can become embittered. And we can live with that bitterness our whole life. It's amazing to me how kids can grow up in the same family and have this, deal with the same problems from their parents or from other situations. And one person turns out happy and joyful, and the other person is as bitter as bitter can be. From the same family, that can happen, can't it? And it's because of choices and the character that that person latched on to. The attitude that that person decided that they were going to have. And sometimes we can go through life and we can be embittered about, I'm just using that first one here. We can carry that for a while, and then God touches us or another person comes into our life, and we see an example of joy, and we say to ourselves, I want more of that. I'm tired of this. God, help me so that I can be more joyful, that I can be happy be satisfied with some of the things that life deals toward me. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And we can change. Our spirit can change. And it's going to come by that same method of us deciding that we want to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of some of these attitudes that have developed in our life. And I know this is what God's talking to us about today, from all of what was done before. All right, here's another one. You know, we can move and strong in the spirit, or we can be weak in the spirit. We can have a spirit of wisdom, or we can have a foolish spirit. Right? Now, wisdom doesn't just come along and just drop into your head. Once in a while, I might make a wise decision. But if most of the time I'm being foolish in my decisions, my character, my spirit is a foolish one. It's a foolish spirit. That doesn't mean, in saying this, that every time you're going to be strong, or every time you're going to be weak, or every time you're going to be joyful, and every time you're going to be bitter. But what is that? What comes out of you and I the most? How do we approach situations? Where's the first place that we go? Are we joyful or are we bitter? Do we take on the strength of God, or do we fall and crumble into the weakness of our flesh? Do we cry out to have wisdom from God and allow Him to show us and teach us through His Word and through situations of life that we're going to learn from that and therefore be wise? Or do we just bounce through life, maybe once in a while, haphazardly doing something that was wise for ourselves? Or are we just foolish? We just go what's off the top of our head. You know? Are we full of grace? You know, it talks about having a spirit of grace and supplication, right? Do we want that? How many of you want a spirit of grace?
Yes.
What does that mean? Tell me what that means to you. To have a spirit of grace. What's that mean?
You're compassionate.
Yeah, that you have compassion. You put yourself in other people's shoes. Okay? Merciful, I heard somebody say.
That scripture, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good repute,
yes,
on these things. That's how I think of grace.
Yeah, and we've got to sow to these places in our life. We've got to attach ourselves there more and more. So what's the opposite? Critical.
Yes.
Somebody is always critical, right? If I look at my life and I'm always critical about me doing this or that person over there doing that to me and all of this kind of stuff, where does that get me? Right? So people can sow to being graceful, or they can sow to a critical spirit. And it is, we all fall into the positive and the negative of these things, don't we?
Yeah.
But I was thinking about this whole thing because of something that happened last week, and I even mentioned it that dealt with that grave soaking thing that I told you about. And I was thinking about this. You know, we want to have a spirit of wisdom in our life. I don't know if I want to talk about that again, but. I'm going to. You know, there is a thing, in case you missed this last week, there is this thing that's going around in some church circles. We're talking about, you know, church circles, about going to graves and laying on the grave of some really, who they would think would be a very spiritual kind of person, to try to soak up that person's spirit. This is why I got onto this whole thing about spirit, you know, to soak up their spirit. Well, and they use, the church obviously needs some kind of scripture basis. So the church, these churches that are doing this are saying, well, when Elisha died, they buried his bones and years later, this other guy was dying and some band of marauders were coming and they threw this guy's body on top of the bones of Elisha. And when it touched the bones, the guy was revived and he was alive again. And they said, well, this is what we want. It was Elisha's spirit that was emanating and it brought life back to the person. But yet, if you say, well, that's plausible, no, God was doing a point there. He was showing that he can do things. It wasn't Elisha's spirit. It was God being sovereign and wanting to show his power to the people of Israel. This is before the Holy Spirit came along. And you know, when you think about it, when a person dies, when Elisha died, what happens to his spirit?
Gone to be with the Lord.
Yeah, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that right? So, Elisha's spirit wasn't in the bones to begin with. So to think that you're going to lay on dead bones and there's some kind of spiritual thing that you're going to get out of that, to me, it's sensationalism. And this is a problem in the American church. It's sensationalism. There's got to be this grand thing. You have to have all these great signs. God can perform signs and wonders as he wants to. But there's a lot of false stuff going on. And the enemy can do that to lure you and I in to something that has nothing to do with the spirit. And you and I better be aware of these things. You better be aware. Because they're out there in the American church. Okay, I guess I said enough about that. Let me just finish some other. I had seven comparisons. You can have a teachable spirit. What does that mean? What's that mean? To have a teachable spirit.
Willing to change.
Okay, you're willing to change. I'm sure that certainly is all part of that. It means that you listen. Have you ever gone someplace and somebody said something and the person's walked away and you say to yourself, what did that person just say to me? Now, it could be memory, I don't know. But it could be that you weren't really listening. Part of having a teachable spirit is that you focus in so that if there's something there, you're not going to miss it. That's being teachable. And it certainly is that you're willing to learn, right? Have a teachable spirit. You know what's the opposite that we could have? A stubborn spirit.
Yeah.
A person that's stubborn. They know what they know, and nobody's going to tell them anything. I know what I know. And this can happen in the church too, can't it?
Yes.
No? No, it can't?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You can have a gentle spirit. Or you can have a harsh spirit. You can have a humble spirit. Or you can have a proud spirit. And this can happen with amongst any of us. Every single person in this room has been on both sides of this issue, of these seven issues that I have here. On both sides. If you look at yourself rightly, thank God that we have His Spirit that can change us. And it was exactly what Sylvia said a little bit earlier. You know, the blood of Christ washes us clean. But we need a real cleansing, a continuing cleansing. You know, all of us in here, I think, have accepted Christ as our Savior in our life, right? We've done that. We're saved. We're born again. There's a salvation there. And yet, the Scripture tells us to work out this salvation with fear and trembling. We have salvation. Now, don't let go of it. Don't take it for granted. Let God work in our lives and cleanse us and change us. That's part of working out our salvation. And we should be, in a sense, with fear and trembling. We shouldn't take it lightly. Oh, I'm saved. I don't have anything to worry about. I'm going to heaven. But there's more to it. See, there is. There's more to it. And what God is looking at is our spirit. He's looking at the attitude that we have toward Him, toward our brothers and sisters, toward everything that as we approach life. What kind of character? What kind of way are we conducting ourselves? That's what God's looking at. That. He's not looking at every single little thing. I mean, He knows. It's there. But it says that He doesn't set in a record all the sins that we have anymore. Blessed is the man to whom God does not impute sin. In other words, he's not keeping a record. He sees what we're like, but He's looking at our attitude. He's looking at the spirit of us. And if there's something that's dangerous, he's going to go after that with us. Even after we're saved, right? Because He cares for us, and He loves us, and He wants us to get to a certain place. Kelly, you have your hand up, I think.
Yeah, in all seriousness, here you're saying that you could have the gentle spirit or teachable spirit, and
yeah,
you could also have, like, either a harsh spirit or a bitter spirit.
Yeah.
Can you have both of them at the same time?
Well, you can have both of them happen to you. You can't be gentle and harsh at the very same time, but you can, from one moment to the next, it can happen, depending on.
It's like a revolving door.
So
it's a percentage, is how I look at it.
That's right.
The percentage of time that you're gentle versus the percentage of time that you're harsh.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like you want to be on that higher spectrum, is how I would.
Right.
How I look at it.
Yeah. We want to be going in the right direction. And so God doesn't sit there and say, oh, you're off there, but you're okay here. And now, oh, you're off again. Oh, you're off again. He's looking at us, and He sees the attitudes we're developing in certain areas, whether are we giving grace to people? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, boy, we can pat ourselves on the back when we give grace to somebody that we didn't particularly want to give grace to, which then allows us to not do it these other times. Because, come on, I gave that person some grace. Right?
But if you're patting yourself on the back, wouldn't that be an error?
Right. Yeah, that's something, that's right.
Right.
So you have all these different things, but these are things that go on in our mind.
Yeah.
These are things that pass through our minds. And we're not sitting here trying to say, oh, okay, let's see, this particular place right now. What we need to do is that when things are on the negative side of things, that we go, you realize it and you say, God, forgive me. I want to turn from that. And the more that happens, the more your character starts turning to the direction that it should. We don't want to sit here and, if God's not keeping a record of every little tiny thing, then neither should we. Should we? But what we do need, God's not just forgetting about everything. God sees it all. He knows these things in us, and he hates the sin, and he wants to see us move away. He's going to bring us along, isn't he? Sometimes it's by compassion, and sometimes it's a good swift kick. Yeah? That's what happens. But God is for us. He's not against us. This is where we can take a lot of hope. He wants our attitude to be right. Our attitude. He knows we're going to trip up. He knows we're going to smash our nose and bloody our nose as we go through life. But that's not an excuse for me to say, oh, well, God knows I can go out there and bloody my nose up a little bit. No. My attitude. Then God's going to deal with my attitude. Oh, you think that you can just do as you please? No. It's the attitude that God is looking at. It's our spirit. It's who we are. It's the character of who we are. It's what emanates out of us. It's where we are more and more and more of the time.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, like Sunday, three Sundays ago, you were preaching about make sure things are tied up so you don't trip.
Right. Right. I mean, this is all part of those things, It's... these things that we're talking about, we don't emphasize a lot about salvation itself. It is the groundwork, it's the foundation upon which our lives are built in Christ. And so it's important that we don't forget about that we're appreciative, like Jen was saying when she was praying over the elements. She said something about really appreciating. I think, and so did you, Fred. You're talking about how thankful, we should be. We should be. Oh, we should be. But over the last numbers of years, there's been more of an emphasis on the things that accompany salvation. There's the gospel of salvation, and it's very important that we understand our salvation and the love of God and who he is and what he's done, and we need to never let that go and hold on to that and be thankful and appreciative. But there's the things we're talking about now are the things that accompany it. It deals with God working in us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what's going on.
Yes.
And we either lend ourselves to that process or we find ways to try to avoid it. Subconsciously, I don't think we even know sometimes that we're trying to avoid God working in our life. I like it just the way it is right now.
We're good at deceiving ourselves.
Yes, we are. All right, would you go to Proverbs chapter 16, please? I got two more scriptures. Proverbs 16.
Proverbs 16. And it's going to be verse 32. Is it up there? No. Here we go.
This is what it says. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit than he that takes a sin. When God is looking at someone, you know, he wants us to be slow to anger. He doesn't want us just rushing off into something. And God looks at a person like that as better than a person that's mighty in battle. And the person who can control his spirit, control the direction of his life, change, be able to allow God to change his character. That's controlling your spirit. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit of God is self-control. You're in control of yourself. You don't just react on every thought that goes through your head. That's being impulsive. That's what that word is all about. To be impulsive. You just do what comes into your mind. And Christian people, something comes into their mind and they'll call it God. Without weighing it out first. You got to be careful. The scripture says we're to test every spirit. Well, if you're taking that amount of time to test something, I don't know. You might want to evaluate that. Right? I would need to evaluate that. And believe, I've done this. I've had things come into my mind and I've thought, oh, well, this is God. And then years later, I go, you know what? I don't think that was God. That wasn't God speaking to me. But I thought it was. The enemy is real good at twisting things around. He comes as an angel of light. He can make things appear. He can make things sound so good. I mean, like these churches that are doing the grave-soaking thing, they're using a scripture. They're using a scripture. But they didn't think too much about it. They didn't use their rational soul. They didn't use their spirit to connect and get the right direction from God. Now, I want you to see something here. God gave us a spirit, and the spirit that he gave each one of us, that created a rational soul. What does it mean to be rational? You use reason. You reason things out. You know what's wrong in a lot of the church these days? They take reason and pit it against, quote, faith. They throw out reason to just walk in whatever is popping through their head. Oh, I'm just taking faith. Even when it goes against reason. Now, there's times when God goes against our reason. There's times when that happens. But most of the time, God gave us a rational soul to make us in his image so that we actually think about things. This is a big deal, by the way. Think about it. For the church that we have here, I think that we understand what faith is. You don't just take faith. We've talked about this before. You don't just take faith. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the what? Evidence of things not seen. It isn't blind. There's evidence. There's substance to our faith. isn't there? It's reasonable. Come and reason with me, God tells us. There's reason that should be involved
in our decisions. We've been given a spirit, the breath of God, that enlivens a rational soul. We're supposed to be using it, shouldn't we? Okay? And so we need to be ruling over it. That's what's being said there in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. All right. One last one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read the first three verses.
Now I want to say the same thing, and this goes to what Kelly was just asking about just a little bit ago. There are times where we move in the Spirit, and so we're spiritual. There's other times when we're not moving in the Spirit, we're moving in our carnality, we're carnal. The same person, moments away from each other, can be spiritual and then carnal. Is that right? That's true, isn't it? Now, Paul is talking to these Corinthians, and he's saying that they're not spiritual. Well, he doesn't mean that they're not spiritual some of the time. He's just saying there's not enough time, there's not enough of the time that you guys are spiritual. That's what he's saying here, okay? So don't think that these guys were never led by the Spirit. That's not what Paul is trying to say here. Paul is saying, let's read it. Verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Babies in Christ are people that have come to Christ. They're babes. They're young in the Lord. But they live a worldly kind of life. They're carnal. They allow their emotions to control them. They listen to the memes of this world and adopt those concepts for themselves. Well, I'm going to look out for number one. Boy, what a great thing to stand your feet on, huh? I'm going to look out for number one. And that number one, well, that has to be me, right? That's the way the world looks at life. One of many things. That's being a babe in Christ. If you've accepted Christ and you and I still have these particular attitudes, particular spirit in certain areas, they need to be cleansed, don't they? I'm talking to myself. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you able to now. You know what? Lots of Christians, if an apostle or a pastor said, you guys aren't being spiritual, we'd go, who do you think he is? And, you know, that might be the end. You know, people go out the door. And people have done that. Right? Paul was telling them, hey, look, you're acting like babies. Would you paraphrase it like that?
Yeah.
You're acting like spiritual babies. There. We don't like it when somebody says something along that edge. Right? Paul was being kind to them there. He was trying to save them from a potential danger. Right? And then verse 3 says this. For you are yet carnal, because there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? And I thought, you know, when somebody was talking about unity, who was talking about unity?
Jen.
About the walking together. Isn't it lovely when brethren walk together in unity? And as soon as she said that, I went, oh, well, that kind of is the opposite of the divisions that carnal people move in, right? So these are
the things that... I want us to be aware of.
I'm trying to be aware of this, and I know that you want to be too. But God, I think, is putting his finger on this so that we're going to move together in unity, that we're going to be people that... because the enemy is going to try to find any way he can to divide.
Yes.
Talk about divisions, right? The enemy will try to divide us any way he can. He will try to divide you from your spouse, from people in the family, from other people in the church, from this person and that. And he's looking to destroy you. And there are people that have made wrong decisions, and now their attitudes are changing about life in general, or about particular people. They're often, and they're changed. You ever seen a changed person for the worse, where they were beautiful looking and really had a smile on their face, and years later you haven't seen them in a long time, and years later you come across them and their whole countenance has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that sad?
Yes.
That can happen. And the world is going in one direction, and the church, hopefully, is not going in that direction. We need to go in a different direction. And it's going to be our character. It's going to be the way we conduct ourselves. It's going to be, do we have a joyous spirit? Do we? And when we find that we don't, we have to cry out to God, God, I don't want to go that way. I'm finding myself being more negative about certain situations. This happens to me a lot with the political stuff. Things aren't going the way I want, and then I get all upset, and then I can get critical, and I can and I lose my joy. And I am learning that in that particular area, I'm going to change the way I'm going to act and react, and not allow certain things that maybe have a big punch in my life now, it's only going to be a little tap. I'm not going to allow it to affect me the way it's done in the past. Do you have things that you need to have that happen to? So there are things that God is speaking to us here in terms of us being people who